Games. Gear. Grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of the Geek Grills Podcast and live stream. Our topic today, letting you know right off the bat, we are spoiling Captain Marvel. We've got all our regular up-to-the-date news and what we've been up to first, so we'll give another spoiler warning before we start spoiling the shit out of that great movie. I am Ember. I'm also known as 9 of 12, and I am with my co-host, both of them, all three in one place again. Hooray!
Yay!
Also known as True New.
Hello.
And D-Jen.
Hi.
Wee.
I feel like like the time space continuum is like at risk right now. We probably should be careful.
Yeah, actually, I ran into that fan and she was like, "You used to all three be there all the time, right?"
You used to all be grills.
So, what have you been up to this geeky week? How about you, Linda?
As some of you may know, I teach crochet classes over at the Joann's, and on Friday, I got ghosted by my student,
so oh my I was God. Just like,
I showed up and they didn't, and then on Saturday, I went to go teach a class that I had signed up, they had scheduled, and I got an extra student, who was not the student that ghosted me Friday, was a different person, but then as I was leaving the store, the student that ghosted me was actually there, found me, and was like, "I'm so sorry."
Oh, that's good, at least.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting it. And she was like, "I signed up for the next class. You do that one." And I was like, "Okay, I'll see you then."
Sure.
Just, I wish you could have called or something, told the store. They would have called me. Any event. And then I got a new job. Started my new job. On Monday.
What is it? All I saw is that it's sciencey. You were wearing gloves.
Oh yeah, so it's the place is called Skin Path, and they basically they get in samples that have been taken from doctors, like biopsies and incisions, and they cut them and put them on slides, and then our doctors upstairs like do consults and look at it. Mm. So you know, looking for anything abnormal, like anything from cancers to they run the gambit, so it's good. I feel like I'm actually like helping people rather than just sitting at a desk all day. I'm learning lots of new things. It's a whole new system. I've never been in a medical field before, so it's lots of I've taken lots of notes, so many cool. notes. And it's I'm up on my feet a lot, so I'm hoping that this plus my new, well, it's not new, getting back to portion control will actually help me lose some weight. So that'd be nice.
At least you're like, you're busy with your hands. That helps with like, I know workplace environments where you're not kind of busy with things. That's those are the worst. So that's definitely good.
And it's 7 to 3:30. So I get off real early and I get to do other things with my day.
And you get, really like, nice. Some husband-free, like, afternoon time. Like, you could, like, craft and stuff or stream your crafting.
I mean, yeah, I need to get back into that. I couldn't do it yesterday because we had a game, so we'll see. And the first day that I did, because I wasn't used to being on my feet because I spent the last 6 years at a desk job, I literally crashed for 2 hours when I got home. I was just like, nap time.
I've been thinking of you a lot with the that meme that's making the rounds now about how crocheting is witchcraft.
Yes. It is. I agree.
Because it is witchcraft.
She sits there with two wands muttering and cursing, and then a couple hours later, blanket, witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
It's very effective witchcraft, though.
Yes.
She makes actual creatures, which is, you know, leveling up. Mm-hmm. So how about you, Jen? How was your week?
Really busy this week. It's funny how, like, friggin' busy it is when you don't have, like, an actual job. I feel like I'm doing more working now than I did when I had, like, a job. So I went to go see Captain Marvel at the fan event, which was awesome because you, I have a Cinemark pass, so I basically used two of my credits, and so I only had to pay like $10. And you go, you get the movie, and you get a bag of popcorn, and I forgot to bring it so I could show it. Damn it! You get this cool coin that goes with my Avenger coin from the Avenger fan event. So it was super cool. So I went and saw Captain Marvel, of course, which I have to say, when you go to the fan event, I was a little bit surprised that, but then I was thinking about it later, it makes sense. The only trailers that we saw were two Disney trailers, and neither of them were Avengers. So,
well,
I make sense.
Think there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, like
there was kind of one later, but
well, my husband and I were talking about that. We're like, A, there's the stingers, which I'm sure we'll get to, and B, if you're seeing this movie, you are more than likely going to go see Endgame.
And they probably like, don't. And there's a lot of people that don't watch. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm not watching trailers. Mm-hmm. Just like the last trailer that I saw for her, for Captain Marvel, was the teaser trailer. And the last one I saw for Endgame was the teaser trailer. I actually don't watch the full trailers anymore unless I'm at the theater. So I think I did see one, actually, now that I think about it, when I went to a movie before. But regardless, there was a trailer for some other Disney thing, and then a trailer for Frozen 2, which I'm now going to start calling Frozen Two Legs, because all of the female characters are wearing pants. And literally all I could think of the entire trailer is Frozen Two Legs, we get to have two. Like, because they're always in dresses, and now they're like progressively woman-run country, and they are all free to wear pants. So there was that.
Which, I mean, if you haven't seen the, like, for our listeners, if you haven't seen the Frozen 2 trailer, it's actually very, very interesting, because there's no talking in it whatsoever. It's all just kind of sweeping landscapes and showing action. And my God, the water effects. Mm-hmm. I thought it was real ocean. Like, the very, very beginning, before you see the characters, I was like, what movie about the sea are we going to see?
Yeah. It's real weird. It's a really bizarre trailer, but I was just laughing. They all had pants, and I was just like, oh, she gets to wear pants now. And then her sister shows up, and I'm like, oh, she gets to wear pants too. This is exciting. Yeah.
Did you see Wreck-It Ralph 2?
No, I did not.
Ralph Wrecks the Internet. Yeah, there's this great, I mean, spoilers, but whatever. It's on Redbox.
It's been out for a while now. I mean, I think it's okay.
There's this great, Disney does a great job making fun of themselves. They bring in like Star Wars and princesses and everything. And like, there's this, Vanellope introducing them to like sweatpants and all the princesses.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Oh,
this is like the pajamas, the princess pajama pants.
It's awesome.
Oh, God, I gotta watch that. Oh, okay. So, I've been doing lots of homework. I've been driving, which is delivering food in an attempt to make money. And then I did the Diamond Club Stream Team movie draft because Curly needed a partner. A partner for Team Drunk Kids Gaming, so that was an adventure. So it got real weird because Avengers came up so late in the order, and there are so many things that are such, like, you just don't know what's going to be worth anything. And for those of you that don't know how the movie draft works, basically it's like fantasy football, but with selecting how well the movies are going to do over the summer.
We did movie draft light for last Geek Girls with me and Jen. Yeah.
Or you in September?
Or you, me in September. Whoever it was. One of you
did it.
You guys did the movie thing.
Yeah, so we have the worst movies. They're really bad. It's really exciting. Actually, no, we went for The Lion King. We're hoping that really that's going to put up a strong showing. Toy Story 4 was another big one that we went for. It was real weird. I didn't know how to use the system, and we spent an hour just getting the tech to work. So by then I think we were all just like, oh God, just do this draft. Like, we just got to get this draft done. And then we had video, and then there was no video, and then it was like video in Skype, but then video talking on Discord. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know anymore. So there was that. That was fun. A new character in my Pathfinder campaign. So, basically, I think I explained to Linda last time, but basically we're playing, there's like a point of the campaign that we were playing in with our characters that are mythic and super awesome and whatever. And I play a dwarf inquisitor, and that's great. And there was like 5 or 10 years that we kind of just skipped, because in the story we did, it happened. And so we're going back and playing through those years, but as like just people in Waterdeep is where it's starting. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this little like chickadee. So I made a little halfling druid and she's super silly. And I have a kitty and my kitty is there to attack people and it's really terrible and I'm completely useless in almost every way. So it was really fun. It reminded me of September trying to play her druid in D&D, and Rob was like, well, why don't you just do it? She's like, I don't have anything. I can't do anything yet. Like, literally, there is nothing I could do right now. So it's going to be fun, but it's kind of weird alternating between the two campaigns because we're basically, like, playing super amazing, awesome, powerful characters, and I'm playing stupid little halfling druid that is pretty much useless. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it was a busy week.
Cool. I've been sewing some stuff, but it's the same stuff I talked about before. My husband's band, The Peculiars, go to thepeculiars.band. They release their stuff, and then they have the official release party. That's next week at Delaney's, but we went to Charlotte, and that was kind of a big deal. It was this really cool place, this, like, dive rock and roll club, like, big Elvis mural on the side. It's called the Skylark Social Club, and some other owners of clubs in Charlotte showed up to check them out.
That's cool.
And a bunch of like people we know from burlesque that I haven't seen in forever. And my I have lost enough weight that my old school, like from the 80s, biker style leather fits, and I felt so me. I had like my boots and my leather and the Peculiars cool t-shirt, and I was handling merch, and I'm like, oh, I miss my youth. This is cool. These are my people.
That's exciting. That's really awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And let me see. I got my friend Chrissy works at Hanes and hooks us up with bags of socks and hoodies and stuff. And she messaged me the other night. She's like, what college teams are your kids into? I'm like, don't give us any NC State stuff. My son doesn't go there anymore. It will be mean. He's like, what about hockey? Oh, hockey. Well, the Knights and then the Sabres and Tampa Bay and the, you know. And she gave us a bunch of small and medium hoodies that'll fit my younger boys, my oldest and my youngest. And then there was no size on this Las Vegas Golden Knights shirt that is comfortable and good looking. Yay. And soft, little zipper thing. It's not even a hoodie, it's just a really cool shirt. And it fit me. I'm keeping it. So I love it, and I've been wearing it every day since. And it's like, even though it's not a hoodie, it's got the kangaroo pocket. And I love those. But I can't go to the Frog Pants meetup in Vegas still in April unless a miracle happens.
It makes me so sad.
So I'm wearing it every day, and it's kind of like this bittersweet thing, but, I mean, whatever. I still have actually history, like, connected to that team and stuff, so there's that. Heresy and Hearsay reached a landmark. Last week, we got our first troll.
Joy. That's when you know you're a real podcast, when you have finally had somebody troll your Twitch channel while you're trying to record.
And I'm producing, and Daniel's not in, like, Barney's not in the chat, so he doesn't even know this is happening.
Oh,
except that I'm like, the guy came in and he was like asking what seemed like a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, we have a live listener and they want to ask this question. And then we answered it, and then they started with the troll stuff. But whatever. It wasn't bad enough I had to ban them. It wasn't the sexist shit we have to put up with. So at least there's that.
What are you guys even doing?
Oh, but it was weird because, like, that's a religion and politics cast, right? So it was like,
right,
asking if we believe in the, I don't know, geocentric theory. And then, and we're like, no, because science. And then, do you know the whole, you know, creation story is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, actually, there's two even in Genesis. If you want to get into that,
if you metaphor. Really want to get real technical, it's woven from three different texts. But just saying.
Yeah. And he's like, no, there's nothing metaphorical. And to prove that I was wrong, quoted a gave me a Bible verse, and I was
God,
like,
gross.
Okay, just trolling. I'm out. Just quit responding.
Clearly,
but
you are not worth it.
Up in the world. ran trivia at Fourth Creek again. Started that back up at the brewery.
Yay.
And I'm drinking Fourth Creek Resolution IPA today. And it was a music-themed trivia. A lot of fun. Really difficult. Really good crowd. A lot of teams showed up. And I still had to do tiebreakers. Yeah, I was actually consulting with Ibit about how I run my tiebreakers, so that was kind of fun. So I guess that's about it for our geeky week. Next up, time for the Geek Grapevine.
Cruise team, assemble!
Geek Grills Grapevine.
So, this isn't going to be spoiler yet. Let's talk about the box office Captain Marvel, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely wanted to mention it just because I didn't buy it in the movie draft. Fuck. I was like, I don't know if it's going to do that well. I mean, yeah, the first night was great, but damn it. Especially because we let that team have Shazam and Captain Marvel, so technically they have both Captain Marvel movies, which really kind of pissed me off, too. But that's a whole other thing. As of right now, the Captain Marvel movie is destroying its own box office projections. So, $455 million in the opening weekend, which is ridiculous. That's bigger than Wonder Woman. It's actually even bigger than...
That's because it's a better movie than Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, I really liked Wonder Woman, though, so I can't really...
Wonder Woman was great until the third act.
It was great until they're like, let's shove an entire story into this movie that doesn't need to fit. No, I agree. It's great. And the first two-thirds of that movie are phenomenal. And the opening scene with her, like, initial origin, like, that... Oh, God, so good. So,
Are we getting into, like, a cup measuring contest? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, we are. It's a vagina measuring contest. Who has the more golden-clad vagina of them all? In the world of
ladies'
supernova movies.
In my opinion, Captain Marvel. But, continue.
I agree. If you're looking at the film as a whole, Captain Marvel was better. But Gal Gadot is an incredible Wonder Woman. Yeah, pretty impressive. Very happy about that. They estimated $125 million in the first weekend, so I'd say $455 was a nice extra showing.
Yeah.
So money can be made, so give us Black Widow. Do it.
Yep. I almost wore my Black Widow shirt, but then I was like, oh, let me wear something a little more neutral.
I wore my Wasp shirt.
I don't even remember what I wore. Oh, my motorcycle jacket. So, I'm in love with being able to wear it again. So, all right, Hello Kitty. I'm not even open to that. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No. I literally put it in there just because I want everybody to know that it's a thing that none of us ever wanted. It's happening. There's a Kitty English language film in the works at New Line. So, it's going to be an American Hello Kitty movie. Sanrio says they're into it, just what we never wanted. That's all I have to say about that. I just want to
plenty of people do. That's your fan thing. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this next one makes me really sad.
I still haven't watched that video. I know it's gonna make me cry.
Watch it though; it's good. It's definitely worth a watch. So if you are living on a rock and did not know, So sadly, Alex Trebek has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So he put a video out there about how he's handling it, and I really respect the fact that he wanted to do that. And you know, just being such a figure for so long, I'm really glad. Now he only has 3 years left on his contract, and he does say he intends to work out his contract. So, yeah.
He's like the face of Jeopardy. Like that's who you think of.
It's
when
funny
you hear
though,
that word.
Because he's not even the original host. But you're right.
Nope.
Nobody thinks of anything else when they think of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I think even worse than like even more than like even Bob Barker for like Price is Right. Like Price is Right. They did a good job choosing Drew Carey. He's right in that role, taking over after Bob Barker. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I ever...
But Barker's still the face.
Yeah, right? Bart, you still think
like,
of Bob
he's
Barker.
He's Happy Gilmore, the Price is Wrong bitch forever.
Forever. Forever. But, yeah, like, I don't know what you do.
Those things. Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. They all had their person, their face. And that's just what's in your head now forever.
Forever. That and Will Ferrell doing Alex Trebek.
Yep.
This has been Celebrity Jeopardy, and once again, nobody wins.
Rhodes Spills are kind of Jen's thing, but
I found one.
I sent Jen one earlier in the week.
Oh yeah,
so
got you.
I'm gonna put that in there too, and because Boilermakers and.
Am I going to get an autoplay
that
video? I am. Damn it. What is with these websites? These websites are the worst.
It's okay. I don't.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Right?
Okay. All right. So we've got which one? I've got the. Oh, great. Shit. All right. I've got Modelo. That's the one I have.
That's the one I posted.
That's the one she just put in, but for some reason.
Yeah.
The other one, the Fireball one, I'm having trouble making show up.
All right. Well, let's do it next week because I saw it, but I didn't pull it up. But I've got this one. All right, so this one this week, that one next week.
But
oh my god, that's so alcohol.
All right,
I know, I agree. Especially because it's Fireball, it makes me really happy. That's gonna be fun.
There.
Let's see. A beer truck crash spills boxes of there's beer everywhere, Modelo everywhere. Drivers east of Los Angeles. Of course, it's like East Side LA. Like.
Oh,
I feel like this is so uncomfortable.
Careful.
Light blue boxes of Modelo were scattered on and below a freeway overpass when a beer truck crashed over this. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus. The shipment of Modelo Especial spilled from the truck on the westbound 10 freeway. I always like the quotes, so let's see the quote from this officer. They're always so good.
That officer dropped by mistake.
No. I think they do it on purpose. Like, they've gotten so good lately. This is one of those circumstances where alcohol is involved, said CHP officer Rodrigo Jimenez. The good news is that there are no DUI drivers here, and there were no arrests.
Well, that's
good. It's good, buddy.
Okay, so yeah, definitely intentional.
Oh my god. So apparently,
I mean,
he tried to break.
The driver, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no serious injuries. Everybody's okay. We try to stick
like
to the ones where nobody gets hurt.
Got to the ramp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to break and didn't do a very good job of it. Oh, my God. The video on this is pretty impressive, actually. That is just like a pile of friggin' beer, just cans of beer everywhere.
We could go ahead and do the Fireball because they're both alcohol.
Yeah, that's fine. We're gonna spill alcohol all over the roads today. Let's see. Oh my god. Okay, tractor trailer carrying Fireball cinnamon whiskey rolls over in Massachusetts. Oh my god. I still think it's funny that when I got married.
There.
Every single one of my friends.
Delicious.
Right? It'd be perfect. You're ready to go. When I got married, everybody felt that that was the alcohol to buy me. So I had like 20 bottles of fucking Fireball whiskey. And people like for years, people be like, you really like Fireball. And I was like, it's all right. It's convenient. Oh, my God. Okay. The crash occurred after 1 p.m. on March 7th on I-495. Oh, it is snowing. Ugh, gross. Why do people live in that area? Interrupting traffic and prompting a massive cleanup effort. Let's see here. Advisory. Westboro, Mass. DOT says all lanes closed on 495 southbound. Truck crash and cargo spilled. Oh my god. Jesus, it was closed for hours.
I still just can't.
I just want a
lovely
good
vision on my head. I mean, like jumping out with my travel mug and scooping up some Fireball snow cone.
If you're going to be stuck behind that, like, and not be able to get off the road for a few hours, you might as well enjoy yourself.
There you go.
Oh my god! I just wanted to see, like, oh man, no good quotes on this one though. That's a bummer. Those are always the best.
Yeah.
I always like when they're just
no funny cops in Boston.
Yeah, apparently not. They're all super serious right now. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good one too.
Okay,
there's
so
alcohol involved everywhere.
Everywhere. The Boston cops are all too worried about the stereotype of being Irish drunkards anyway. So, main topic this week, everyone. Tune out now, come back later, whatever. I mean, I guess in the notes I could put a timestamp of when we stop spoiling. if you want to listen later. Or just save this episode for after you've seen the movie and argue with us then. But we're going to spoil the shit out of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
First top of the tops. The new opening Marvel animation. Animation. Nice job. The animation where they have changed the whole, like, showing all the history of comics type thing that they used to do to a Stan Lee tribute. And I almost started crying to begin with. Like, I was...
Yeah.
I had tears in my eyes, and I'm like, crap, the movie's gonna start. I'm not gonna be able to see. So I'm like, I started clapping, and I was the only one. And then a couple other people started, and they stopped.
We had full applause for that. And I don't know if that's only for this movie, or if that's gonna be it for, like, the rest of
the
Marvel movies.
I bet they'll continue it. I bet they'll keep it. We'll see.
I think for right now they have to. It's too new. And I honestly, though, I felt like it was a really nice touch. Like, I wasn't expecting it, so it was really nice. It was,
yeah. I'm glad I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I clapped. I mean, we didn't get a full blown applause, and because I'm in a small town. I mean, the theater only probably had 20.
Mm-hmm.
People in it.
I was with a bunch of crazy Marvel fans, so that's the people that go to the fan events, so,
yeah, so it was like
everybody gets excited, like the first time they like her, like when her costume got colored the right color, you heard like the, like, people weren't like full-on cheering, but you definitely heard more excitement in the theater than you normally would when you go to just a normal showing.
I was glad I broke the ice on it though, because during when Stan's cameo happened, somebody like behind me did just go woo, and then people all applauded.
Yeah.
Like, I think I had broken the ice.
Oh my god. And then the fact that, like, the best part about Stan's cameo is he's sitting on the bus reading.
I had seen Kevin Smith's tweet where he's like bawling my eyes out, and I thought it was because of the opener. Mm-hmm. And then I was like weirded out by the cameo, because I didn't really get it at first. And I was like, oh, because he's repeating himself. I'm like, are they having to fly him in? I thought they had a bunch of these pre-filmed, because he's like, true believer, like repeating the same line. And then he's holding a Mallrats script.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of you out there probably know, some of you may not know, but before there was an MCU for these movies, Stanley did a cameo in this little movie called Mallrats.
Because Kevin Smith is a stupidly obsessed comic book fan.
Yes, and after the success of Clerks, he did Mallrats, and they kind of brought their nerd in. And
he
got Stan to do this cameo where he just does his little true believers line. And so the cameo in Captain Marvel.
It's the right time. I didn't even realize.
Yes, it was 1995.
Yes, exactly.
So Captain Marvel set in 1995, and she's like going after that Skrull, trying to track him down on the bus, and who's looking at everybody in the face, trying to figure out if they've transformed, and then there's this big script in front of his face that says Mallrats, and he pulls it down and she just smiles at him and he's practicing his line that he had in Mallrats, and it's in that year. So that's why Kevin Smith was bawling his eyes out, and I'm all choked up about it too, because it really was fantastic.
I got so much more Phil Coulson.
And the cameo was as himself in this first movie after he died. In the first, like, there's so much meta going on right there. Like, as himself, practicing lines as himself for another movie in that year. Oh, my God.
No, I felt like that was really appropriate. It was really well done. Just thinking about the fact of the setting and that whole scene with like the bus and the cars and everything else, they did such a good job. Of course, using Blockbuster, of course, and then
That was another personal thing I had. Sorry, I forgot to put it in the notes, but I know you saw it on Facebook. Because I got so excited. One of the best things in the movie for me is Fury's car.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Fury's driving Impala I used to own. And it's period and makes sense because the movie is set in 1995. And so the car that he was driving was like the 94-year Impala, which... Sorry, I'm also a car nerd. brands. But my mother worked for GM when I was growing up. So not only did she help build that car, she got one of the only 5,000 they put out in that year that were for civilians.
Right.
The rest of them were all like cop cars. So it would make sense for him to have the model year they brought back the Impala because they didn't make them for like a couple decades. They brought it back in 94, and, like, I always had trouble getting parts for mine because the cop car ones had a different chip that wouldn't hold back the speed on it, and they had a few different things in the cooling and exhaust system. So, like, of all the stuff going on in that movie, Fury's driving her onto the base, showing his shield ID, and I'm like, and I go to Rob, oh, my God, it's Vlad, because when my mom gave me the car eventually, we got a license plate, and it was Vlad the Impala. But Nick Fury drove my car.
Yeah, speaking of that,
so
it's a good segue. Nick Fury was a cat dad.
Yes, hold on. We can't go. We're like jumping ahead. I haven't even gotten out of the bus scene yet. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
We've got a million things to talk about. Mm-hmm. So let's try to like hold up. So, first of all, like I said, one of the things that I really liked was the fact that they did a really good job of setting the scene of the time. It didn't look like that fake Hollywood, like old school. They did a really good job of making it look like an integrated world, and that was really nice for me, of course, using Blockbuster. And one of my favorite movies is what she picks up at the Blockbuster, which is The Right Stuff. Too.
I was explaining that to my husband.
Which was
when he enjoyed the dog fight. I was like, you know, there was foreshadowing, right?
Yeah. So the exactly, and also I think there's so much good stuff there, and it also is like it's so the Right Stuff was great. That was just like a nice little toss in right there at that part. And then of course at the beginning of everything, I am delighted by how much Phil Coulson I got to have. I wasn't expecting it, and he's one of my favorite characters, so I was super excited to have him be there. And yes, so going forward, Nick Fury is a cat dad. Yes.
Because they picked up the cat
named Goose,
like after the big chase, and like Coulson let them go at the base where they picked up the cat. Which, again, so spoilers, not actually
well,
a cat.
Well, I had seen a trailer with him fussing over the cat.
Yeah, yeah, she's like Fury.
I avoided the trailers, so I didn't know there was a cat involved. So I was like, oh, you're sweet.
Sort of a cat.
Sometimes you're...
A mother flirking cat.
Mother flirking cat. Just, like, I was like, sometimes you're CG, and I don't know why. Oh, that's why they're doing that. But it's okay.
Well, Petey would have a fit if you threw it up in that position against, you know...
Against the box.
The cabinets when they're going into space.
I did also enjoy that at the Blockbuster, like, she shoots at a poster, which I recognized being the True Lies poster with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis. And I was like, whoa, like, it brings me back. I mean, and all the music, of course, was designed for that, too.
Yeah, the soundtrack was really fantastic for that. And that is something I do want to go ahead and say. I mean, of course, we don't give them any credence, like, screw all the stupid incels, but...
We're going to get into that.
All the opportunity, we're not heavy-handed about the feminist stuff. But yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get into that. That's definitely a big... there's a definite conversation to be had there. So before we get there, the music, nostalgia in general, though, of course, You Had No Doubt... You had, I'm pretty sure we had, let's see, I know we had just a girl when she was fighting. Some people thought that was a little weird and a little forced. I didn't. I loved it. I was fucking happy as shit. God, there's so many. Of course, I know we got some TLC at one point. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, Waterfall.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Waterfall. And then we had, I'm just trying to go off pure memory here.
Nirvana.
Oh, of course. REM, of course there was Nirvana.
Garbage.
Oh, that's right. Oh God. Okay.
Yeah.
I had a
yeah.
moment. Okay. So Shirley Manson was one of my first like female like musician girl crushes, and so watching like a super female superhero like comic book movie and then having Shirley Manson singing, I'm just like, yes, everything good is happening in my life right now. That made me very happy as well. The nostalgia was really nice, made me very happy. Now sadly we're gonna have to bring it down a little bit because we definitely need to talk about the situation with Rotten Tomatoes and all that chaos.
Well, let's talk about the Skrull situation.
Sure.
Because okay. Linda wanted to express about that. And I did not know this character's history very well before either. And I was wondering going in, like, what the hell? Because we know the Kree are bad.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Do you want to get into that when we get into the difference between the comic book story and the movie? Or did you want to... Because there's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
But I think this is separate.
I mean, like, the short version is that... And you can get into this when we get there, but... The short version is that in the comics, both the Skrull and the Kree are bad.
Yeah.
They're just kind of bad in their own ways. But in the movie, they actually do the twist of the Skrulls are just kind of refugees that are just trying to get away and find their own like place in the galaxy or the universe. So I actually kind of like that twist, because if you look back through the movie, you kind of realize that, I think except for like one instance, the Skrulls don't actually ever kill anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which, like, that's a subtle thing. Like, they're fighting, obviously. They're trying to get the information, but it's for a different reason than you think it is, and they actually don't really hurt anyone. So it's like, hey, that good job, movie. I did not expect that.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out how they were going to tell that, and I think they did a good job.
The standoff in the house was really well done, because, like, that scene was so believable. There was, like, the right amount of tension, but also it was still comic book movie comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't... Because, I don't know, sometimes they can... When you're doing... We're talking about like a dramatic action film, they just take it too far out, and then it's just there's that moment, and it's just... Like, this person is bad, and this person is bad, and everything terrible is happening. I don't know. I just felt like the tension was right in that scene. There was the right balance of comic relief, tension, and yes, this is a big deal, but also we're going to make some jokes about the fact that this alien is...
sipping on a cup of water. Yes, like... And then Nick Fury with his glass of sweet tea, like, yeah. For half of the time that they were in Louisiana, he always has a glass of sweet tea.
By the way, the tease about the eye thing really God, stressed me out so much. I was like, come on, dude. Like, when is the eye going to go? We all know this is the point. Is that at some point in this movie, you're going to take his eye. Where is it, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of cute. They, like, teased it and teased it and teased it.
Oh, God, yeah. No,
but we'll get there, too.
Yes,
although
totally.
Someone did post up, like, a picture of, I see where Thanos got those slash marks from, and, like, showed the three scars on his on his face, and then the little claws of the Flarkin.
Oh, God, I really enjoyed that a lot. Okay, so let's just get out of the way, the yucky stuff, so we can get back into the movie stuff. So, basically, shit happened because... Weeks ago, Brie Larson made some comments about, she specifically did an interview with a reporter who, I think it was an African-American reporter specifically, and so she did that because she felt like everybody who was reporting on her movies were all white men, and she felt like she just wanted to see some diversity with it, and so, of course, the nasty... like super disgusting men and trolls went out there and started posting negative reviews on Rotten Tomato, like, already. And so finally, after 8 bajillion years, Rotten Tomato has said, okay, fine, we're done. You can't comment on a movie until it's out. Like,
yep.
You just can't do it now. And
that's
they
good.
Actually
they finally changed their policy.
Absolutely. I just hate that it's been this long, because it's happened before too. And this was like the most pointed example of it, but it's definitely been something that's happened before. And the other nice thing too is they actually went in and scrubbed comments that were clearly just they were just trolley bullshit comments, and they scrubbed them out. And the interesting thing is everything went from being 42 or 50% or whatever to being certified fresh. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. how much of that bullshit leading up to it really was these douchebags just being pissed off because Brie Larson was just like, hey, this isn't about white dudes. Now I have to ask, I want to ask you ladies, how did you feel about that? Did you feel like her stunt was, you know, her taking advantage of a platform and pushing an agenda, or do you think it was just an appropriate thing to do to just get a little more diversity?
I
don't see it as a stunt.
No,
I think her choice of words incited more lashback than perhaps was intended, but the outcome is fine. But I mean, it's not like I said, I don't think the feminism was forced in this movie.
No.
It flowed well, and just like the multiracial aspects, everything else, it was very, like, I wouldn't have even thought about it.
It was appropriately diverse.
It was just normal.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious because I've heard both sides of that. I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, you know, this is an actor just pushing it farther than you need to, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I don't
why can't she take some credit? I mean, it's sad that the movies even have to talk about, hey, yeah, we're making sure to include people. Like, and she's like, good, I'm glad I was part of something that includes people. And then people are going to attack over that? Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, and I honestly love Brie Larson, and I was happy that she said something. I'm happy that Rotten Tomatoes did something about it, because that affects money. That affects, you know, if that had been able to stand, what if people just look at that percentage and then decide that they're not going to bother? You know, that's really important. That has an actual financial impact. So, and BioCow, unfortunately, you're right. Sometimes men do suck. There are awesome dudes out there, though, that are raised by lots of strong, awesome women and recognize the suckitude occasionally that men are able to put out there. But yeah, I definitely feel like we couldn't talk about the movie without addressing that at least at some point, just because it was such a big part of the opening.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad. I've got men in my life who were, before I even saw the movie, people saw it the day before, and they're like, my Tall Thomas, y'all have seen him on my channel. It's like, that movie was awesome, and it's only stupid fucking incel dude bros who can't handle a woman being a hero that won't like it. Like, he was just...
Yeah, I mean, Manfriend enjoyed it. He's a dude. He enjoyed it. I mean, what's not to enjoy?
My husband loved it. He was like, that was a great movie. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rob did, too. He fell asleep.
One of my besties...
Then he was like, ran and got a Coke because he couldn't believe that happened, and then loved the rest of it.
So one of my besties, Eric, he's been on the show before. He came on and talked when we talked about credit and stuff like that. Came on, and he... tweeted or he texted me like immediately after seeing it was like, oh my god, it was so good, blah 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 blah. And he was like, the only thing that he thought was weird is he felt like the Just a Girl was a little weirdly placed, and I get that. I could see how somebody who doesn't understand how much of like a fun chick anthem that is why that was so good for me, is that that's one of those like,
oh, I could.
It's just fun. It's a fun time song, and it was like, for me, it was the right time.
Yeah, yeah, I could see where that's might have been a little female centric, because they didn't, even if they were around in '95 and into it, they didn't hear it the same way we did.
Yo, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I was, yeah. Anyway, yes, times when we were all not as free to do all the things that we wanted to do. like even just play fucking video games and be on a team playing video games. Oh man.
I was like becoming a single mom and having to fight at the newspaper to even get a birth announcement.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. 1995.
I mean, it's crazy. That's
you just nutty. You don't want to know how old I was at that point.
Hey, it's okay.
I was going to say, I think Linda and I were like, well, you were younger than me. So shit. Okay. Now I feel old too. No, all right.
I am so old. Whatever. It's fine. I earned it all. Half a damn century.
So as far as the diversity of the movie, just getting into some of the, I mean, of course, everybody can go back here and go through the entire original story. I don't really feel like we need to spend a whole bunch of time doing that, but just a couple facts that are kind of important from the original comic book story. Marvel, originally a dude in 1967. Maria Rambeau was actually Monica Rambeau and basically took the mantle of Captain Marvel. She's a police officer. And then she became the Captain Marvel. I think she was the third Captain Marvel, if I remember correctly, from the comic books. And she was a member of and a leader of the Avengers at one point in that run of the comic book. And that was in the 80s, I think, if I remember correctly. And then what's interesting is that, as we discussed before we got started, is that they gave the daughters Maria in the movie, best friend Maria, they named her daughter Monica. And I think that that's delightful because that is obviously got to be some, be a good, like, I mean, it touches my heart.
I've got a fan theory, and it's just a fan theory.
No, I want to hear this.
So, like, after Black Panther, I thought that maybe they might make Shuri Ironheart.
Right, I remember
after Iron Man is gone. Yeah. But Monica's the right age
True. That is true. But also, that means Young Avengers. It means maybe we'll get Young Avengers. I want Young Avengers. I want Young Avengers.
Yeah, I'm okay with a lot of this. And I heard Steven Schreger talk about this morning with the original inception of her powers and how Mar-Vell was like protecting her in the proximity of an explosion of like Kree tech and Kree blood being close, and she got Kree powers. So they retconned a lot of that, but they left in a lot of things like Yon-Rogg, like the mentor turned out to be a bad guy in this movie, mm-hmm. Being in proximity. And there's a lot of things they just couldn't have, like, no, they couldn't have done the same way. I like the way they reworked this origin.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally fine with this. And a lot of it's close enough, true enough. They didn't, like, just outright delete characters. They still had, like, the key elements of Mar-Vell being the doctor and being Kree and being on the planet and, you know, bringing that technology there. And working, they had to work the Tesseract in. And that, I think, even explains her powers better. Because in the comics, it's messy as hell. Like, the Captain Marvel we know by the time we're going to see her in Avengers, to bring her to that level, the way she was in the comic books, was years and years and years of comic books and different characters having the powers and taking them to other galaxies and getting more power. Like, she just kept accruing more and more powers to get to this point.
Like, I literally,
and they racked it up pretty neatly.
When the Tesseract, like, showed up, I was like, I had to take a second and be like, hold on. Where in the timeline is the Tesseract now?
No, I freaked out. I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? How can we have two Tesseracts? The Tesseract's on the fucking stone. And I was freaking out.
I know.
Knew that the shield got the Tesseract and we're holding on to it from the Kree.
But I forgot.
They thought it was Kree technology. We knew that.
I forgot because we were timeline shifting because it was after the Stinger where she shows up. So it was like my brain was like twisted and all like discombobulated. And I'm like,
gotcha. I thought it was
shield. Okay, because shield
like
had it
fucking time travel. They shoved it into this timeline. Yeah. Perfect.
Well, because S.H.I.E.L.D. / Howard Stark had it after they found it out of Captain America's crashed ship.
They found it, but not him, right.
So, literally, I guess they gave it to Mar-Vell to
they gave it to Project Pegasus.
Project Pegasus.
Right.
And then that's where it came from. But correct. It took me like a good 2 minutes to be like, okay, it was in Asgard, and then it was on Earth, and then it was here, and then it was over there.
So it was on Earth, like, and then it went back to Asgard, because like Thor and Loki are like, nah, dude, we're going to take this back to a place where we can hold stuff in a better place. Which turned out to be a really great place to put shit that you want your bad guys to get a hold of.
Yeah.
And then when Asgard fell, people were like, oh my god, the Tesseract! I'm like, bitches, you know Loki has it in his back pocket. Like, don't fucking lie. Like, you all know.
He looked at it.
Everybody fucking it. Knows. I know. The moment he looked at it, I was like, cool. So he'll be taking that with him.
Yep.
Kind of what he does.
The origin power, the power, so the origin of her powers I enjoyed. I actually kind of enjoyed the way that they unpeeled her story. That we were getting enough snippets, and I felt like it was really well done. Because a lot of times, I can put it together before we get there, and I actually was legitimately surprised that the dude bro was a douchebag. Like, I wasn't prepared for that. That was done
was
really well. Yeah,
well.
It was such a good choice. I was very impressed. That I was surprised. I was like, oh, he must be a good Kree. Nope.
Nope.
Hot potato Tesseract.
Yep.
Oh, where is the Tesseract?
It's the Avenger game.
Woo! I did like that.
I want to take this moment to tell our listeners that we are going to run long today. It's a spoiler episode. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. FYI, if you aren't aware, we talk a long time about movies.
So do you want to the other big shift, because I definitely have thoughts.
Oh yeah, if we're going to talk about the Tesseract with confusion, we also have to talk about the Fury's eye.
Okay.
So
I saw this question in the notes. Do we retcon the Fury eye thing? Yes.
He was also
a white dude who lost it in World War II once upon a time. I'm really good with our MCU Fury.
But I actually think there's an easy way for them to kind of like retcon that. And that is that he is kind of embarrassed that it was an alien cat. So he just makes it up whenever. He's just like, yeah, no, that's totally how I lost my eye. Nobody actually knows how he lost his eye.
And that's the thing, is that everybody is saying it's a retcon, and I'm saying I don't necessarily think it is for the same reason that you just said. It's not necessarily a retcon because we never actually saw it happen. We had a character, Fury, who has a lot of ego, say how it happened.
I saw a good fan theory in an article I posted here. It will be in our notes, where somebody's like, yeah, he makes up, you know, something kind of like what Linda was saying, but also that he, instead of getting the eye replaced, he wears an eye patch to remind him that never to let his guard down. That this was really a well-written way to, you know, keep himself reminded, because this was an opening of a whole new world, the way they told the story. Like, this was his first exposure to aliens? At all,
yeah.
Right? But I mean, retcon for loyalists of comics, I mean, you can't even have that argument if you have enjoyed any of the Nick Fury in his current incarnation. You can't. He was like a white guy fighting World War II against Nazis. He got shrapnel in the eye. It was the first story. And it was an issue of like how he lost his eye revealed. Right. And he got an eye patch instead of getting it a glass eye, so that he could stay with his guys. And then they did it again. They retconned where it was like Wolverine pulling him out of, not Desert Storm, one of the Gulf Wars. Like, it happened there when he was, it was like a caravan rescuing Wolverine or something. I don't know. So like it's even been retconned in the comics before. Although that second instance, the character had already been reworked to look like the Nick Fury we know from NCU.
Well, we had to figure out how to shoehorn Samuel L. Jackson into this movie, because he's in every movie. So when they decided that he was going to be in all these movies as Nick Fury, we had to completely redo Nick Fury. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Why not?
No. The one thing
I love that they gave him his signature thing, though, with like with the cat. It was like, and the cat does scratch him. It's like, mother flirkin'.
Yeah,
mother flirkin'.
Oh,
That was like, I love that bit of fan service so much.
No, it was really, there was so much fan service in this movie, but it also wasn't, it was tasteful fan service. And like I said, I felt like the nostalgia was tasteful too. People were like, oh, it's a ball. It was like a nostalgia, like pornographic nostalgia fest. And I was like, I really don't think it was. I think you have to enjoy it from that standpoint a little bit. It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Like, of course, there's some stupid, goofy shit in there. Like, this dude is obsessed with Footloose and Kevin Bacon. Like, this shit is weird. Like, and that's okay because these characters are just kind of weird. And it's kind of fun to have a chick who is in that role, but
This was so well crafted. Oh, and her as a
Like,
character, Carol
her as a
Danvers.
character, like at the beginning I was like, she's kind of wooden, but then like you realize as you're going along, oh, the Kree made her that way.
Yeah, she's got
And
a
then as
fucking
she
implant in her brain, like fucking with her shit.
Yeah, and then like as she like remembers herself, like she wanted to be someone she became someone I wanted to hang out with.
Totally. I wanted to be her Maria for sure. Oh, before we jump off of the Nick Fury stuff though, I do want to mention one of the moments that I really enjoyed because I saw it like happening before it was like as it was happening, and I was so impressed. Is one of the reasons I like Phil Coulson as a character is because he's just such a well thought out character with such a great arc over a couple different movies, like where he's like getting his card signed by Captain America and his obsession with like old like relic stuff and everything that he goes through in Agents
Well,
of
I watched
S.H.I.E.L.D. and
Agents
every
of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Oh,
so I just
exactly.
like fell more and more in love with
I
him.
just I love him as a character so much that it was so nice that when that thing happened where he was just like he makes that call and I literally like I grabbed the man and I was like, oh my God, Nick Fury is gonna make this is why he chose him and I literally just and then like and then afterwards Nick Fury is like, we'll see. That's somebody that you can like that you that's hard to find or whatever. And I'm like, yes. Like, I'm so excited. Like, that is how you identify a lieutenant. It's so good. Yeah, no, that part
Like
made me
they
really
were
happy.
both nobody at one point,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
It was really great to see that when Coulson being a rookie.
Yep. Oh,
Going with
that
his
part made me happy.
instincts.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Oh, so good.
So, gentlemen's hit the Bechdel test.
Oh, totally. Mostly because the first thing I did when I left was go to bechdeltest.com, so
Of
that I could
course.
input it as a thing because it in fact did clear the Bechdel test, which is interesting because Wonder
Easily.
Woman didn't, Black Panther, who had some of the strongest female characters, didn't, and I was very pleasantly surprised. So if you're not aware, the Bechdel test is I will start by, was it Linda Bechdel? Is that her name? I put the link in there. We'll have a link in the notes too. But basically, it looks at how women are represented in plays or in film, in theater. And I tried to add Captain Marvel, but somebody else already had, so I was happy. But basically, there's three rules. First, it has to be two women in the scene, talking to each other. And the third rule is that they have to be talking about something other than a man. And the scene where Carol Danvers and Maria Rambeau are talking about Carol being gone, and she's all like, oh, yeah, I mean, all that stuff. And Maria's like, no, the hard part was like grieving for my friend who I thought was dead. And then they're talking about kind of where they are now and where their friendship is going to go from here. And there was not a single mention of a man at any point in that scene. It was just the two of them working through kind of how they were going to pick up. Now with her being alive and her remembering her friend and oh my God, like all of that. So in fact, that scene passed the Bechdel test.
Well, and I think the movie in general, in the spirit of such things, does a really great job because although it looks like she got all this training from this dude, turns out, no, not so much. I saw a really great meme about how Carol Danvers was a hero before she ever got powers.
That's right.
Like being the flight at her and Maria talking about what it was like back then, and women couldn't fly combat missions, and what they did because of what they loved to do and wanted to serve. And it's like, and that's just history, right? And laying that out without being all, high and mighty about it was fantastically done.
Yeah, and didn't Carol and Mar-Vell, aka Dr. Lady, didn't they also have like a scene where they had a full conversation and a man didn't come up?
So I wanted to check that scene too. I think you might be correct. However, I haven't seen the movie a second time to confirm. Mm-hmm. I just know for a fact that that scene did. Because, like, yeah, as the scene started, I went, oh my God, I might get a Bechdel test. Like, I might get a scene. I had a feeling. It was just like when I was watching Black Panther and there was the scene where the general was talking to what's her face, and the names are just escaping me right now. I'm a really terrible, terrible Marvel fan right now. But they were talking and it was just like, but it's for Wakanda and la da da da, and you're the general and blah 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 blah. And then they bring up.
Right.
Then they bring him up and you're like, mm-hmm, damn it, you got like so far in, and then the last 2 seconds you're like, and just kidding. So that really surprised me that we didn't get one in Black Panther because it was so close.
It was so close.
But yeah, no, this was, I think there may have actually been other ones as well, because I also think there was a scene with Monica and, I'm sorry, Lieutenant Trouble and Lieutenant Captain Trouble. Marvel,
yeah,
that I think may have passed it as well. So there's definitely a few in there, which is, again, I hope we're getting to a point where that can just happen naturally in fucking movies and we don't have to like
stop having to
idolize it,
yeah,
you know,
great,
because it's just a thing that happens, but... I think those were great choices. Marvel being a woman, the friend Maria as a character, I really enjoyed. I felt like she was a fully three-dimensional, developed sidekick character, and those are good and important, and that makes me happy.
Oh, she killed the shit out of that Kree.
Oh,
that
dude,
was...
she murdered that bro. Oh my God,
that was trying to shoot him down. She was just like, nope.
Yeah, I also.
Yay. Our badass.
I also like when that moment where you're like, I'm like, no, she's just gonna fucking shoot him. He's like, no, let's do this without powers. I'm like, no, she's gonna shoot. Oh yeah,
no, nope.
She shot him.
And then she was like, I don't have to prove anything to you. I was like, yay.
Yeah, and it's like the Kree are like, we did stuff to you, we gave you stuff. Like, fucking assholes, all you did was like take shit away.
Take
assholes.
Me away from my home. And also put this on me. So hold on. Let me take
that
off.
My favorite scene. That whole like bad guy, just him trying to disarm her with that macho bullshit of like, one on one, take it now. And she's no. And I was saying, it kind of was drawn out. They kind of really did let him keep going.
A little bit.
Just letting him go. And I'm just shaking my head. I'm sitting there literally shaking my head in the theater just waiting for it to go. Because,
yeah,
we're not buying that shit. It's just not happening.
It was interesting to see Ronan before he was important, or self-important, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, he was still just, like, low on the... He was a leader, but still low on the totem pole compared to being fanatical ruler of all things, like, over-religious zealot, you know? But I also like how they're like, oh, let's send stuff after her. Let's send these tiny little crafts, because she didn't just stop 8 warheads just now, so let's just do it. Like, that's a... And he's, like, all shocked that, like, she takes them out. I'm like, really? You just watched her, like, single-handedly stop all of your warheads, and you're surprised that she killed your stupid little shitty crafts?
And then I love the hand to fist, and it's just like, boom! Like,
oh, she does that flex,
just,
right?
Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good.
It's such a flex. Like, you best back the fuck off.
Oh, I love it.
Leave.
So what about the suit?
Okay. You guys remember when the first pictures came out for this movie, I was freaking out, remember? Because I'm like, what is this green and black bullshit? What the fuck is this? Like,
right,
this is garbage. This is not okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and then people were like, no, it's going to be okay. They can't possibly do that. They didn't do me wrong. It was so good. And what's even better is we got some really awkward, like, arcade fucking crazy-ass shit beforehand. Okay. Which was cool. Also, it's a reminder of just how advanced Kree technology is, that is the suit that she has in 95, compared to, like, where we are now with where Iron Man is, and this chick has, like, a suit that can just, like, redesign itself in a second. But no, the moment that suit popped up in the right color, I had the big old giant alligator tear, just like the one, it reminded me of Wonder Woman hitting the battle the first time in her full gear. I had the same moment, and it made me so happy, and anytime I can have a strong female character who's a fucking badass, but not over-sexualized, but yet still, like, sexy, because she is, but, like, oh, so good.
And now I want to do a Captain Marvel cosplay.
Yeah, I know, totally.
I have the blonde hair for it.
Yeah, you should totally
yes,
do
you
a
do.
Captain Marvel cosplay. I'm
going to crochet that one, too.
No.
She wants to do a full on, you want, no, like full on.
I need Warbler and I need like bodysuit, like mesh, not mesh, but
Awesome.
that kind of
Yes.
stuff.
Awesome.
Yes.
So the goose meme, I take it that's the one where people are putting their own cats in that I've seen, which I love.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of goose stuff out there, but yes, mostly cats. So
Somebody
enjoy.
needs to make like a tool for that. Because like the last I saw is on Twitter earlier, people are photoshopping their own cat into the poster. Somebody just
Yeah.
makes a tool so I can slap my cat in there, please let me know. Send me that link immediately. Okay, why didn't Fury call her sooner?
Okay, so this came up because everybody, I did have that moment too where I'm like, maybe like during that Ultron shit or like the Battle New York shit, and then I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute. Number one, there is a possibility that he did call her. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he did, and she was like out of
Maybe he
signal
did.
because she was like dealing with some shit. Who knows? We don't exactly know what she's been dealing with the Skrulls trying to find them a
Right.
homeworld and all that. So we don't know. The other part is that if he didn't, it makes sense from a standpoint of like the kind of restraint that Nick Fury has. I mean, think about people that he's hung out to dry for like a couple decades, and it's like, nah, dog, I wasn't gonna let you completely go. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Nick Fury restraint thing, I think, too.
I think it was restraint. I mean, because he had spent time ever since then. I mean, that's when they show it in the movie. He starts the Avenger Initiative based on, her plane name, which is another spoiler. And I think he had been doing a really good job gathering heroes and figured we got this. It took Thanos. It took knowing at least half of those people were fucking gone. And this is a universal thing because I think in his head, like, she's an alien, right? Like, not a lot of our heroes are aliens. I mean, like, the Asgardians are.
Ish.
Yeah. I mean,
Right?
technically, she's not an alien either.
She's got half alien blood.
Well,
She
yeah,
originated
she got
here.
Phil Coulsoned.
And
It was
she
a
got
magical
what?
place. She went to Tahiti. It's a
Yes, she
magical
has.
place.
Yes.
She got Phil Coulsoned. She
But
got pumped with some Kree blood.
I think it reeks of the restraint and that it was the Thor, like, because he already knew this, or not Thor, Thanos. He knew the stakes with Thanos, and once he saw people start disappearing, it was like, whoa, okay, I have to push this button on the
No,
pager,
that's
magic pager.
I dig it. I
1995-ness.
Oh man.
State of the art,
Well,
1995.
right.
The two-way
So,
pager.
folks.
I do like I do hold on. I do have to comment on the
Oh,
one other
so
part that cracked me up
after
was
scenes. We didn't touch on
Oh,
those.
before we get there though, the part where they're in the room and Nick Fury does all this fancy ass shit, and they get to the next door and she just pops it open. He's like, "So you could have done that the whole time." She's like, "Yeah,
Yeah.
but I just wanted to let you."
I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah, like, no, it's cool.
You let me play with tape.
The personality is so great. Right? I love, love, love this character.
I like her
Great
because
smart ass.
she's a smart ass. She has a little bit of like bravado, a little too much bravado, maybe a little overconfident, but that's okay. Like, we need more characters like that are female. Like, it's okay to be a little bit flawed in your heroism. Like, that's what male characters, that's what makes
Yes.
character male characters so good, is that they have a little bit of that because they're not trying to prove themselves completely, you know? It's I don't know, she's three-dimensional, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, this very like heartening, like, I got this. I know I got this. I can do this. Like that kind of
Oh, when she gets
confidence.
up, oh my God. Every time she gets up, every time, you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, keep getting up. That's what a
All
hero does.
the feels.
All the feels.
So I feel like Black
So,
Widow's
yeah.
like, who's this bitch?
I was told to not bother staying for the second after credit scene because it wasn't worth it. And
Cute.
no, yes, I was like, oh, you don't, yes, it was worth it if you're a cat lover. But yeah, the first one we basically, that's where we got our Avengers trailer. Like, we got the absolute confirmation that she fucking shows up in the Avengers movie.
Because I do think it's funny because it's just like, well, who's on the other end of it? Well, let's figure it out. Well, I don't know, it's off now. Oh, who's this bitch?
Hi.
She's like,
Who
where's
the
Nick? He's
fuck?
like, who in hell are
Sh
you? And says, that's another thing that I think says, shows the strength.
Yeah, where's Fury?
It's Fury. She says, where's Fury? Because yeah. he made the point.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah, I know.
I did laugh about that, too.
Which was also clever. Mm-hmm. I love that word play in there. But I think that's another thing that shows that we're probably right that it was restraint. Because he would have told one of them
that if she he tried was on to call her before.
Called her. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to give him a heads up. Hey, don't blow her out of the sky when she shows up.
I've been trying to figure out how we win because we don't have the X-Men. Because, like, in the comics, that's how you beat Thanos, is you got all these other fucking powerful motherfuckers. We don't have them. But then I'm like, oh, cool. We have a stupidly overpowered Captain Marvel. Awesome.
I think it's because she's got, because they've made her power
from the space stone.
Yeah, because she has a power that came from the space stone. And I think they're going to make some sort of rebuilt Vision, because Shuri, during the big fight in Endgame, like, saved his consciousness somehow.
Yeah, that was the backup,
yeah.
Careful. I haven't seen a lot of trailers, so.
And if you look at who didn't get removed.
In Infinity War.
Theory.
It's all Infinity War,
There are things they can do with time and now space, depending on who would be where if they're not actually.
Well, Doctor Strange said there's one way, so we'll find it.
And it involved him obviously going to where the hell.
Yeah, my theory is that the one way is to let Thanos think he won.
Yep.
And then come in and kick his ass and undo it.
I just don't know why they didn't just call Deadpool. He has like one more charge thanks to Cable. Come on. Oh, my bad. My bad.
So anyway, folks out there, please let us know your fan theories. We'd love to hear them. Bitch at us for spoiling everything because you couldn't listen to a warning. Chime in by emailing us today at geekfrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at Geek Grills. So girls, what are you most anticipating coming up right now?
Well, for me, Glitter Dice is recording on Sunday, and we're doing a drinking episode because we're recording on St. Patrick's Day.
Woo!
Even though it's going to come out on April 1st, so...
Is it actually going to come out on April 1st, or is this just like a pre-April Fool's joke?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of the coming out, but it usually comes out on the first of the month. So, who knows? We're gonna have some alcohol and ramble, because that's what happens on our drinking episodes, is we're just like, and like off on 10 different tangents all at once.
Kind of like us talking about a movie that we're all super excited about.
Right? How about you, Jen?
So I am doing an Undertale stream this weekend. So 11 o'clock, Pacific time, on my channel. I will have Curly as a guest star as we do another, visual novel game. I'm going to be earning, hopefully, some funds, do some fundraising. One, so I can make my car payment, and two, so I can make it to Vegas. So, my channel, The Gen Plays, is where that'll be happening on Saturday, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Woohoo! I'm looking forward to. I have a corned beef curing. I make my own homemade.
Delicious.
So that will be our St. Patty's Day thing, and I think I'm going to make some pierogies for a St. Patty's Day's potluck at the brewery.
And here comes my cat. Hi.
And
just climbing up.
I'm Goose too. Captain Marvel. Oh my
God. I'm looking forward to recording Trust Your Cape again. If you've been trying to keep an eye on that, folks, that is my live action superhero role playing game podcast with the folks from Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop. I just got word the other day, and Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop is going on a hiatus to kind of jumpstart and spend that time producing Trust Your Cape. So that'll be really getting going soon. Now, folks, you can always come and watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Tuesday evenings. Our next one will be on March 19th.
We are supported not only by those of you that support us here on Twitch through subs and bits, which we love so very much. We also have amazing patrons who are the greatest girlfriends on the internet, and you can actually become a patron today, patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have an Amazon Prime, if you have that, you get one free sub a month. So you can do that every month and give us their money. And it doesn't cost you anything because you already have Prime. So you should do that.
Yep. Also, leaving us a review is free. They help our ranking on the podcast catchers, whichever you use. They can help other people find our podcast. And, excuse you, Kat, you can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and help us spread the word there. She had to give me a goodbye headbutt before she left the back of my chair.
This cat is, like, for audio listeners, Linda is currently being caressed by her cat via shoulder. And, oh, my God. Oh, Linda.
It's fine. It's fine. She loves me.
So where can we find you, Grills, on the interwebs?
Let's see. For me, you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which, as I said, comes out on every month. And you can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. And I'll be continuing my crochet, my cosplay. I'm working on Pink Diamond. So I'm doing it.
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch and on the Heresy and Hearsay and Trust Your Cape shows.
I just realized you said you're doing Pink Diamond.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. How do we talk about this and I forgot? Okay, sorry. Side note.
Sorry.
I'm at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and you can find everything I do at TheJenSays.com because I own the shit out of that domain. Also, I have ADD. Yay!
Yay! Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.